98 FM's Now That's What I Call Sport podcast.
86 medals, 30 gold, 29 silver and 27 bronze. The 91 strong team of Special Olympics Ireland arrived back to Dublin Airport during the week, and 98 FM's Sean O'Regan was there to meet them and their supporters.
Team Ireland came home with a lot more luggage than they initially went out with to Abu Dhabi. The 91 athletes returned to an emotional Dublin airport on Friday afternoon with a sensational haul of 86 medals. They're made up of 30 gold, 29 silver and 27 bronze. And these athletes were blown away by the reception they got when they landed.
Brilliant and fantastic. It's unbelievable. Incredible. This is the first time in a medal. I can't believe it.
Oh, it's been a great experience. Great camaraderie between the athletes' families, mixing with the families and athletes, and it was brilliant.
I'm from County Drum, Dungiana. I heard a storm mod up there. Anyway, I'm more famous than the Gaelic team now. I can't lose it. This thing's hard to beat them boys.
The Games, which have been heralded as one of the most successful ever for Team Ireland, saw an action-packed week of sport with medal wins for the Irish squad in all 12 sports. Family, friends and fans lined the corridors of Terminal 1 to give them a hero's homecoming.
It's not just for the athletes coming home, it's for the athletes that are in the local clubs, that they get to see what can be achieved, and when they go out there that they can do so well, and they're actually on the national stage, in the world stage, and they have shown that Ireland can bring home as many medals as they want.
The motto for the Special Olympics is, let me win, but if I can't win, let me be brave in the attempt. And she definitely was brave in the attempt.
Minister for Tourism, Transport and Sport Shane Ross shared his and the government's congratulations to those who took part.
It's just incredible. Wow. I've never seen anything like it. There's just a feeling of celebration, of community celebration and pride.
Abu Dhabi welcomed 7,000 athletes from over 170 countries to the Games. Former Ireland international Niall Quinn promised the soccer team that he'd come to the homecoming if they won a medal. And they went out and won a bronze, so he says a promise is a promise.
I told them if they won a medal, I'd definitely be out at the airport to see them. I would have probably come anyway, but I felt really obliged when they went and got the bronze medal. You know, they worked ever so hard together, and it's a terrific achievement. Terrific from all of the athletes, of course. 86 medals, it's inspirational stuff, and I'm sure generations after them, you know, will try and emulate this. It's just a proud moment for them all. But for the soccer lads anyway, I'm here to honour my side of the bargain. They did brilliant, and I couldn't miss it.
And on their approach to Dublin Airport on their Etihad Airways flight from Abu Dhabi, they received this special message from Air Traffic Control.
Etihad 75 X-ray, I have a message for your passengers, if you could relay it, please.
Go ahead.
We would like to pass on our congratulations to all the returning Olympians and medal winners. Also, a big thank you to all the coaches and volunteers. They all did a great job representing our country and made us all very proud. Well done from the IAA and Dublin ATC.
We'll do all right, thanks. Here, here.
In the true spirit of the Special Olympics, the athletes aren't resting on their laurels, as attention has already turned to Berlin 2023.
Yeah, fantastic. So from Dublin Airport, that's 98FM Sean O'Regan speaking to some of our 91 strong Special Olympics Ireland team, who've come back with 86 medals, 30 gold, 29 silver, 27 bronze, and you heard Shane Ross, Niall Quinn and others as well. And now we're going to hear from a lady who is the Director of Sport for Special Olympics Ireland, Karen Coventry, who spoke to us live in studio just before the team headed off, and she's back from Abu Dhabi, up bright and early on Sunday. Karen, good morning, how are you?
Good morning, how are you, Jamie? Great to be back on.
Yes, how is the body and the body clock for yourself and all the athletes after being in a different time zone for the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's quite incredible. We're all starting to adjust back now, just the 4 hours. But yeah, it's okay. It's just the excitement, the highs and adrenaline keeps you going.
Would you believe I was in Dubai and Abu Dhabi like last year, and I thought the time difference was longer, so I obviously wasn't concentrating too much when I was on my own holidays.
Yeah, no, we're doing okay.
Now, Karen, just before we speak about the games themselves, the last couple of days, the homecoming at Dublin Airport, amazing. The Late Late Show on Friday, which you were on yourself along with loads of the athletes, the standing ovation for about 2 minutes when the athletes came out on set with Ryan Tuberty. Just an incredible couple of days. How would you look back on them since you've actually arrived back in Dublin?
That's it. I mean, the arrival home on Friday was just second to none. The cheers of the crowd, the coverage from the media, I mean, you couldn't really ask for any more. And then Benasco on the Late Late Show was in the green room with their families when they came out, and the standing ovation, and to watch the reaction of those families in the green room, just something you just don't experience every day. And you just, the amount of pride and privilege just to be there was incredible. The athletes were thrilled, absolutely thrilled.
Yeah, and anybody involved in sport, whether that be individual or in a team, they say you know, the minutes after you've won and the celebrations either on the pitch or on the track or in the changing room, and then when you get to see your family and you come home and you see such a support at the airport and then on live TV as well, that just adds to the whole experience of winning and that feeling that everybody wants to have.
Yeah, I mean, those athletes have gone through a 4-year journey in order to earn their place beyond Team Ireland. And they worked so hard, and for the coaches that worked with them over that journey, it was just incredible. The athletes over there for the matches and the final match for basketball when the girls won, I just can't even explain the atmosphere, Jamie. It was just incredible. The support from the other athletes who weren't competing that day came to support them. It's unbelievable. It really, really is. And the local schools came out to support from Abu Dhabi as well, with a lot of Irish teachers. And the big chant of today was, go east, go west, Team Ireland are the best. You just can't beat that. Incredible.
Great stuff. And Karen, we mentioned 86 medals in total and 91 athletes. Just explain to us what that means for the people who've won these medals. And you could see some of them coming home at the airport with like 5, 6, 7 medals individually around their own necks.
Yes, yes. And like the Boccia, you've got a singles event, you've a team event, and you've a doubles event. So some athletes have potential to win more than one medal. But each one of them has won on its own merit. And like gymnastics as well, they'll win one for each piece that they do, perhaps the all-round medal as well. But each athlete came home with something. We had medals in every single sport. So each athlete came home with something around their neck, which is absolutely incredible. Surpassed all our expectations.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like, to think that every sport that we entered, was it 12 sports we had in total, something like that?
Yeah, that's right, 12 sports. I mean, across Dubai and Abu Dhabi, I mean, in both delegations there. And every single athlete coming home just with the pride and a lot of personal bests. And I was telling we had 10 personal bests there as well. So the athletes going hard in the heat out in Dubai for athletics with a 5,000 metre and 3,000 metre, and to come out the personal best in that heat just shows the training and determination those athletes have.
Now Karen, you mentioned the heat there. What was it actually like for the athletes? I know some of the sports are contested inside, but lots were outdoors as well, and apart from just when you're actually competing, when you're actually walking around those countries as well, they can be very, very hot, and something that I'm sure yourself and a lot of the athletes would have never had to deal with before.
No, particularly the football. Being out there for 20 minutes aside in the heat was really tough going for them. But I mean, again, like the Fighting Irish, they'll always give their all on the pitch and leave everything there. The athletics was pretty tough going as well. I mean, doing the 5,000 metres in that heat, you just keep going. And to say Alan did it in 24 minutes, you know, it's a long time to be out there, but it's an incredible time to get. I think he wants to get in as quick as possible to get out of the heat.
Yeah, currently just before 1 o'clock in Abu Dhabi, 32 degrees Celsius. So incredible for the athletes to be out and about in that as well.
It is. A lot of training for them as well. There was a lot of sun safety and hydration workshops before they travelled out. They were all prepped, and we had a medical team there just to make sure that they had all that they needed in order to prepare them for competition.
Yeah, just explain to us about that, Karen, and exactly what supports were over there for the athletes.
Yeah, so the athletes, with 91 athletes and then a team of 39 volunteers, which was head coaches and a management team, which included 2 medical. So we had a nurse and a doctor right there on site as well in terms of keeping an eye on all the athletes and their medication and all their needs. And then we had a head delegation, which was Emma McMenamin from Ulster, and an assistant head delegation, and a families person, Lucy, who liaised with the 325 family members that travelled throughout the Games. And then a sports coordinator, Ken, who looked after all the sporting pieces of the team as they went along. So huge, huge support. And also, actually, in addition to that, Team Ireland, we had 74 volunteers that went out to work with the Games, and they would have fundraised to go and help. And then they worked out in the convention centre in different sports, run the Games over the 2 weeks out there. So incredible, incredible volunteer support.
Yeah, you're talking about around 500 people there in total. And, you know, we see all the time with Irish teams across the world, and even in Dublin Airport when you guys got home, the chants of ole, ole, ole. When someone is wearing green, everybody gets behind them, whether that be their teammates, their coaches, you know, the parents and supporters of other athletes, all of the actual team, you know, yourself as the director of sport as well. And that's something I love about Irish sport, is that wherever we are in the world, once someone is involved with Ireland, it's that collective kind of team spirit and bond that's really unbreakable.
Yeah, no, it really is. And if you see a green, everybody was wearing green out there. All the families come out every day in their same big green T-shirts. You could find them, doesn't matter how big the convention centre was, you'd always spot an Irish person a mile away. The friendly face, the smile. It was just unbelievable, Jamie. It really, really was. And we're just so proud to be Irish when you travel. I mean, just the support given to each sport, although people would travel to different sports if they weren't competing. Didn't matter what sport it was, didn't matter who it was, the Green Army were behind them every step of the way.
Yeah, and the athletes competed in 12 sports: athletics, badminton, basketball, boccia, which we learnt about on the show the last time, bowling, equestrian, football, golf, gymnastics, kayaking, swimming and table tennis. That's an unbelievable spread of sports as well, Karen. For you being, you know, the director of sport, and I'm sure being at some of these events and all of these events on a daily basis as well, what was that like, and what sort of things would you be able to tell us about the different ones and the interest in Irish athletes that you saw winning and doing amazing things?
Yeah, I mean, the kayaking venue was out in Courtenay's Beach, so for me, it was the pinnacle of the beauty of Dubai. They had the whole, or Abu Dhabi, sorry, all in the background, seeing the city, and the athletes just out in the water, really calm, really blue. You wouldn't experience that every day when you come from the lakes in Ireland. It's just totally, totally different. It was really, really beautiful. The open water sea swim in Dubai, the athletes had never been in that type of water before. It was warm. It was lovely to stand there. It was great support. And there was fish in the water. One of the athletes decided she better wear goggles. She was like, there's actually fish in there. So that was brilliant to be part of down there. And the equestrian was superb. The horses were magnificent. Each of the venues just trumped the other one. It was really, really unbelievable to see everything in the one spot.
And then, apart from the sport, Karen, what was it actually like just for you guys and the athletes as well, just to be able to be in Dubai and Abu Dhabi, two incredible cities? As I said, I was there last year myself, and you mentioned the views from the beaches and just a place that a lot of them may never get to go to see in their lives. Did they have some time to go and explore and to enjoy time away from when they were competing?
Yes, absolutely. The first 3 days and the team come out to go into what's called the Host 10 programme, and Ireland are very kindly housed in Dubai. So they got to see some of Dubai there for the 3 days and went out to the theme parks. So they had a great day out there, just a break from the sport and the stress of competition. And then on their days off, the families would take them for lunch or go and do some cultural things with them as well. So there's nice space given in between the competition schedule for a bit of downtime, just so they get the full experience. I mean, it is all about sport, but you're right in saying that it's not a place that people would have an opportunity to go to every time or every day. And so many family members, we had one family golfer, Mark Laffey, who took 12 family members out to travel with them, and they decided to have a holiday with it. So it was really nice from a family perspective as well to go and have that time together and enjoy for what the beautiful place that it was.
Yes, certainly. There's like a couple of 7-star hotels there as well. I think I remember the Burj Al Arab. It's like 1,700 euro a night to stay there. Now, I didn't stay there, but even to be able to kind of see hotels like that, that you may, you know, dream of staying in, and just the incredible places around there as well. Yeah, another, I suppose, excellent aspect of the trip that they were able to go and see those places and, you know, experience all of that as well. Now, Karen, all of this has been made possible by volunteers who you mentioned earlier on, the huge team of volunteers that went out to help. And of course, Special Olympics Ireland need these volunteers to make things happen in future too. And I know you guys spoke on the Late Late Show on Friday just about the inspiration these athletes are for the next generation and the next generation of athletes, but also of volunteers as well. And there's an annual collection day coming up on April the 5th, which is a Friday in a couple of weeks' time. So just explain to us about that. And I know you guys are really hoping more people will now get involved, given this success, to help out.
Yeah, so there's two things here. We hope from the Games that a huge drive from parents who are sitting at home would love to get their athletes involved, and we'd love to welcome them to the family of Special Olympics. And for volunteers to go and volunteer in their local club, that grassroots level, because that's what it's all about, and bring them up to the ranks, right up to in all competition. And then the collection day, it's every once a year, we do an on-the-street collection day, and we would love to see more volunteers come out and to help us reach our targets in order to give those athletes the opportunities that they deserve. So April 5th, out in the street, please contact specialolympics.ie and we'll put you in your location that suits you. And we really, really would be so appreciative of any help that you can give.
Yeah, and if you're a social media person as well, Special Olympics Ireland on Twitter at SO Ireland and on Facebook, Special Olympics Ireland as well, for more info on that. Karen, finally, what's next for all the athletes? I'm sure a well-deserved little rest, but lots of them will have, you know, their sights set on the next opportunity to win medals and the next opportunity to go and perform for their country.
Yeah, so our next opportunity is we're in the winter cycle now. So for some of these athletes, the floorball competition will kick off on alpine skiing, and then the Ireland event next year for Ireland Games for winter games. So it's skiing and floorball is what Ireland compete in that. And at the end of the closing ceremony last week, they hand over the flag to Sweden. So Sweden is the next host of the Winter Games. And then the Summer Games after that in 2023 will be in Berlin. So the road is paved out and we're ready to go.
Great stuff. That's the voice of Karen Coventry, Director of Sport for Special Olympics Ireland. Massive congrats again, Karen, from everybody here at 98FM to yourself and all the athletes. Well done. I will speak to you soon.
Thanks a million, Jamie. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
98FM. Now that's what I call sport. Get the full show every Sunday morning from 9, only on 98FM.